We are beginning a series in the interesting little book of Ruth in the Old Testament. In this book, we learn of Ruth about the beautiful and interesting account of a Moabite widow who became the great-grandmother of King David and has her name in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ as given in Matthew 1, verse 5. Her name is Ruth, the Moabite, whose husband, Chilion, an Israelite, died in Moab. Afterwards, she became the wife of Boaz, a mighty man of wealth in Israel. This instructive account of Ruth has its setting in the land of Moab, which was east of the Dead Sea in Israel. It took place in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, times that followed the days of Joshua. Ruth's mother-in-law was Naomi, an Israelite of the tribe of Ephraim and from Bethlehem, Judah. Her husband, Elimelech, came to Moab with his family and died there. The two sons who married women of Moab, Orpah and Ruth, also died in Moab. So this divine account begins in chapter 1 with these three widow women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth, on their way to Bethlehem in the land of Judah. After a while, Naomi asked her daughter-in-laws to return to their mother's house and not go with her to Bethlehem. Then after some further entreaty and weeping, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and returned to her people and to her gods, as we find in chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. But now as to Ruth's decision, she clung unto Naomi and said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, as we have recorded in verses 16 to 19. Here we have the momentous, steadfast decision of Ruth, expressed in noble and touching words. Though she was of a people that had their pagan gods, Ruth would not return to them as Orpah did. She firmly decided to go in a new way. Her words to Naomi indicated she chose a path, a place, a new people, and a new person, the true Jehovah God of Israel. She also had a steadfast purpose to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, the house of bread in Judah, which means praise. She desired the house of bread and praise. But she was shut out by the law. And so first we would note that Ruth is a picture of how a sinner, whom the law of commandments shut out from blessing, can come into wonderful favor and blessing by the grace of God. You see, as a Moabite, the law of Moses declared in Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 to 4, that such an one was not to enter into the congregation of Jehovah, even to their 10th generation, because the Moabites had refused to give bread and water to the company of Israel when they came out of Egypt and traveled to the promised land of Canaan. But in Ruth, we see how the grace of God can work in wonderful purpose of heart and bring one into a great place of blessing with the people of God and Jehovah God himself, even though the law of commandments would shut that one out. Now let us consider the five beautiful P's of Ruth's decision: the path, the place, the people, the personal God, and her purpose of heart. First, she said emphatically to Naomi, "Whither thou goest, I will go." This was choosing a new path in association with one who belonged to the one and only true God. We too must choose a path to walk in. Psalm 1 speaks of the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly that shall perish, verse 6. Psalm 119 talks of the way of God's statutes, the way of truth, the way of thy commandments, and every evil way and every false way. See verses 30, 32, 33, 101 and 104. The Lord Jesus spoke about the broad way that leadeth to destruction, which many travel on, and about the narrow way that leadeth to life, which few find. Matthew 7:13-14. He urged that we enter in at the straight gate and go the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Another time the Savior said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Dear listener, what path or way are you traveling on? Is it the way of the ungodly, the way of evil men, the broad way that leads to judgment and the lake of fire which you have chosen? If so, we entreat you to take Jesus Christ as the way to heaven and get on the narrow way. Or if you are trusting in a false religion that is not according to what the whole Bible teaches, remember, God warns that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. The second item in Ruth's choice was, where thou lodgest, I will lodge. This was a place which she chose. It was a place in association with the people of God. This reminds us of the words of the psalm by the sons of Korah, who said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 84:10. The path and place which Ruth had chosen was the way to Bethlehem in Judah, where Naomi was returning to. The name of this place means the house of bread. Bethlehem was the place where Jesus Christ, the true bread of life, was afterwards born. How good to choose this wonderful place of the house of bread, where Jesus Christ is found as the satisfying bread of life. Thirdly, Ruth said, Thy people shall be my people. She chose to be identified with the people of God, those who were of the seed of Abraham, the friend of God. He is spoken of as the father of all them that believe. Romans 4:11. So the faith of Ruth chose to make the people of Israel, the offspring of Father Abraham, her people. Her faith was like that of Moses, the man of God, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. Even though Naomi was, as it were, a backslider under the hand of God in discipline and away from the land of Israel, Ruth saw that she belonged to the people of Jehovah God and desired to be identified with them. Verses 13:20-21. Fourthly, Ruth's faith rose up beyond the path of God, the place, and the people of God, to the person of the true God himself. She said, Thy God shall be my God. She chose a personal, living God instead of the gods of the Moabites that were but dead idols that could not hear, see, or feel. Her faith was akin to that recorded of the Thessalonian believers in the New Testament days, who turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. 1 Thessalonians 1:9. All this indicates the importance of a personal faith in a personal God, which does not rest in mere outward things of a path, a place, and a people. True faith reaches up beyond outward externals and lays hold of the living God himself. Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6. Faith sees the promises of God, is persuaded of them, embraces them, and confesses that one is a stranger and pilgrim on earth as they seek a heavenly country. See Hebrews 11:13-14. Such was the genuine faith of Ruth the Moabite. Fifthly, Ruth's unmovable purpose of heart was manifested in that Naomi saw she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Her decision was a mere passing emotion that had no depth. It was genuine, a heartfelt conviction, a fixed determination. Her sister-in-law, Orpha, had lifted up her voice and wept and kissed her mother-in-law, and then went back unto her Moabite people and their gods. She was like some today who sometimes show emotion, even tears, and profess to accept Christ as Savior. But it is soon manifest that there's no depth or genuine conviction of sin, no true repentance, and no work of God in the soul or conscience. There is no steadfast mindedness to go on in the Christian pathway, so they go back to their old ways and company of the ungodly. Such are like stony ground hearers, which the Lord spoke about in Matthew 13. They hear the word of God and with joy receive it, but when tribulation or persecution comes, because of the word of God, they are offended and wither away, because they have no depth or root in themselves. Now, the narrative tells us that they too, that is Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem. And it was the beginning of barley harvest, Ruth 1, verses 19 and 22. It is always the beginning of a harvest of blessing when a soul comes to God through Christ the Savior. Bethlehem, the house of bread, is enjoyed and the soul is fed with Christ, the true bread from heaven. In our next study, we will see Ruth as a gleaner in the fields of Boaz at Bethlehem, where she was greatly blessed. We noted from the book of Ruth in chapter 1 her great decision of faith, how she chose a path, a place, the people of God, the personal God of Israel, and that she had a steadfast purpose of heart. Five wonderful P's. The end of chapter 1 tells us that Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest, verse 22. Here we have Ruth in Bethlehem of Judah, in the land of Israel. This was the place she had chosen to go to with Naomi, and where she spent the rest of her life that was filled with wonderful blessings. As we noted in last week's message, Bethlehem means the house of bread, and Judah means praise. So Bethlehem in Judah stands for the house of bread and praise. It was the city of David where the Lord Jesus Christ, centuries later, was born. He is the bread of life, the living bread which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is proclaimed as recorded in John 6, verses 23 to 58. He also said, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." All this is what Bethlehem of old typifies. And being in Judah, the praise tribe, there is the thought of praise to God and joy to man through Jesus Christ of Bethlehem. This is what was announced at the birth of Jesus, as Luke 2:19-14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." You see, Naomi had heard in the land of Moab that the Jehovah God had visited his people in Judah in giving them bread. After her years of sorrow in Moab, she was moved by this good report to return to Bethlehem. And Ruth was determined to go with her. When they came to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred about them, and it was the beginning of barley harvest. There is indeed a great welcome and the beginning of a harvest of blessing when one comes to Christ Jesus, the true Bethlehem, the house of bread. Moving on to chapter 2, we find it opens with the introduction to us of a new character in this moving drama of Ruth the Moabitess. We are introduced to a man who is to play a great part in the life of our Moabite widow. The divine account informs us, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." There are three interesting and important items brought before us here about this new person. One, he's a kinsman of Naomi, that is, a relative. Two, he's a mighty man of wealth. And three, his name is Boaz, which means in him is strength. In this true story, Boaz is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became man that he might be our kinsman redeemer. This Hebrews 2:14-15 informs us. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them. Secondly, Jesus Christ is truly the mighty man of wealth. His riches are unsearchable and endure eternally, as Ephesians 3:8 and 1 Peter 1:3-4 assure us. Thirdly, he is truly our Boaz, with its meaning of in him is strength. All power is his in heaven and in earth, as the one who has risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. Matthew 28:18 and Revelation 1:18. Jesus Christ is the one spoken of in Psalm 80:17. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. To the above about Boaz as a type of Jesus Christ, we could add what we will observe in our studies, that he is most kind, gracious, and loving and considerate in his dealings with others. This wonderful characteristic is certainly true of our Lord Jesus, and he excels all others in this. In the interesting divine account of the activity of Ruth at Bethlehem, we see her as a gleaner in the barley fields. We would call this her pursuit, which would be a sixth P added to the five previously given. The Bible states, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. See Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 in the New American Standard Bible. Boaz was of the family of Elimelech, yes. And from this incident of Ruth, we may learn how a believer can get in immediate touch with Christ and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as the Apostle Peter exhorts us. Ruth went out to work. She went out to the fields to glean grain. It was thus she happened to come into Boaz's field and met him who dealt so kindly and generously with her. Ruth's gleaning grain illustrates how a believer can and should go to the field of God's Word, the Bible, and gather precious truths of food for the soul, which are scattered on every page. As one gleans from the Word of God, contact is made with Jesus Christ, who is the theme of all Scripture. Christian growth and blessing are the direct result of labor in the field of Holy Scripture. Gleaning grain, which is left after the reapers have harvested the fields, is hard work. But in all labor there is profit, Proverbs 14:23 assures us. And the Lord Jesus said, do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. John 6:27. Ruth desired one in whose sight she would find grace or favor. She took a humble place as an unworthy gleaner. Afterwards, when she was moved by the grace that Boaz had shown her, she fell on her face and said, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger or a foreigner? Verse 10 of chapter 2. This is the ground upon which God can and does love to bless all who come to him. We are saved by the grace of God, his unmerited kindness, and we have access into this grace wherein we stand. It is to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved. Then we learn of the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound toward us. And in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus.
See Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 8, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and Romans 5, verse 2. As we glean in the vast and rich field of the Holy Scriptures, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the God of all grace. This gracious loving kindness is seen in the first recorded activity of Boaz. Verse 4 tells us, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee." What beautiful greetings between master and servants. Boaz was a good master. He greets his servants kindly, and they answer him with blessing. In this, Boaz reflects something of the Lord Jesus Christ as the wonderful master, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light, as he said in Matthew 11, verse 30. Radio friend, is he your master? And do you glean in his field, the Bible? Satan's a hard master, and the yoke of sin is heavy and bitter. Now in verses 5 and 6, we read of the servant that was set over the reapers in Boaz's field. This nameless servant is doubtless a type of the Holy Spirit, who directs the reapers and gleaners in the Lord's harvest fields. The book of Acts clearly shows that the Holy Spirit directed the movements and activities of the Lord's servants in the early church. See Acts 2, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8 and 31, chapter 7, verse 55, chapter 8, 26, and many other passages. Boaz inquired of this servant as to who this new young woman was, and was told that she was the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from Moab, and hath continued from the morning on as a gleaner. This good report as to Ruth gives us another important feature about her. She continued steadfastly as a gleaner. Verse 17 records that she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. She was diligent and steady in her pursuit of gleaning. So also must every child of God be in searching the Scriptures, if one would make progress in spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul exhorted young Timothy to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to meditate upon these things and to continue in them. 1 Timothy 4:13 to 16. The Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." John 8:31. Now we have Boaz addressing Ruth as "my daughter" in verse 8. How encouraging and comforting it must have been for Ruth, the stranger, to be addressed by this mighty man of wealth and master, Boaz, as "my daughter." It speaks of loving relationship. The Lord Jesus addresses those who come to him in similar loving terms. To the trembling and fearful woman who touched his garment, he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Mark 5, verses 33 to 34. To the disciples, he said, "Children, yet a little while I'm with you." John 13, verse 33. He also said to them, "I have called you friends." John 15, verse 15. In this book, we learn of Ruth about the beautiful and interesting account of a Moabite widow who became the great-grandmother of King David, and has her name in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, as given in Matthew 1, verse 5. Her name is Ruth, the Moabite, whose husband, Chilion, an Israelite, died in Moab. Afterwards, she became the wife of Boaz, a mighty man of wealth in Israel. This instructive account of Ruth has its setting in the land of Moab, which was east of the Dead Sea in Israel. It took place in the days when the judges ruled in Israel, times that followed the days of Joshua. Ruth's mother-in-law was Naomi, an Israelite of the tribe of Ephraim and from Bethlehem, Judah. Her husband, Elimelech, came to Moab with his family and died there. The two sons who married women of Moab, Orpah and Ruth, also died in Moab. So this divine account begins in chapter 1, with these three widow women, Naomi, Orpah, and Ruth,
on their way to Bethlehem in the land of Judah. After a while, Naomi asked her daughter-in-laws to return to their mother's house and not go with her to Bethlehem. Then after some further entreaty and weeping, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law and returned to her people and to her gods, as we find in chapter 1, verses 7 to 14. But now as to Ruth's decision, she clung unto Naomi and said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem, as we have recorded in verses 16 to 19. Here we have the momentous, steadfast decision of Ruth, expressed in noble and touching words. Though she was of a people that had their pagan gods, Ruth would not return to them as Orpah did. She firmly decided to go in a new way. Her words to Naomi indicated she chose a path, a place, a new people, and a new person, the true Jehovah God of Israel. She also had a steadfast purpose to go with Naomi to Bethlehem, the house of bread in Judah, which means praise. She desired the house of bread and praise. But she was shut out by the law. And so first we would note that Ruth is a picture of how a sinner, whom the law of commandments shut out from blessing, can come into wonderful favor and blessing by the grace of God. You see, as a Moabite, the law of Moses declared in Deuteronomy 23, verses 3 to 4, that such an one was not to enter into the congregation of Jehovah, even to their 10th generation, because the Moabites had refused to give bread and water to the company of Israel when they came out of Egypt and traveled to the promised land of Canaan. But in Ruth, we see how the grace of God can work in wonderful purpose of heart and bring one into a great place of blessing with the people of God and Jehovah God himself, even though the law of commandments would shut that one out. Now let us consider the five beautiful P's of Ruth's decision: the path, the place, the people, the personal God, and her purpose of heart. First, she said emphatically to Naomi, "Whither thou goest, I will go." This was choosing a new path in association with one who belonged to the one and only true God. We too must choose a path to walk in. Psalm 1 speaks of the way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly that shall perish, verse 6. Psalm 119 talks of the way of God's statutes, the way of truth, the way of thy commandments, and every evil way and every false way. See verses 30, 32, 33, 101, 104. The Lord Jesus spoke about the broad way that leadeth to destruction, which many travel on, and about the narrow way that leadeth to life, which few find. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. He urged that we enter in at the straight gate and go the narrow way that leads to eternal life. Another time the Savior said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14, verse 6. Dear listener, what path or way are you traveling on? Is it the way of the ungodly, the way of evil men, the broad way that leads to judgment and the lake of fire which you have chosen? If so, we entreat you to take Jesus Christ as the way to heaven and get on the narrow way. Or if you are trusting in a false religion that is not according to what the whole Bible teaches, remember, God warns that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25. The second item in Ruth's choice was, "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." This was a place which she chose. It was a a place in association with the people of God. This reminds us of the words of the psalm by the sons of Korah, who said, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Psalm 84, verse 10. The path and place which Ruth had chosen was the way to Bethlehem in Judah, where Naomi was returning to. The name of this place means the house of bread. Bethlehem was the place where Jesus Christ, the true bread of life, was afterwards born. How good to choose this wonderful place of the house of bread, where Jesus Christ is found as the satisfying bread of life. Thirdly, Ruth said, Thy people shall be my people. She chose to be identified with the people of God, those who were of the seed of Abraham, the friend of God. He is spoken of as the father of all them that believe, Romans 4, verse 11. So the faith of Ruth chose to make the people of Israel, the offspring of Father Abraham, her people. Her faith was like that of Moses, the man of God, who chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, Hebrews 11, 25. Even though Naomi was, as it were, a backslider under the hand of God in discipline and away from the land of Israel, Ruth saw that she belonged to the people of Jehovah God and desired to be identified with them, verses 13 and 20 to 21. Fourthly, Ruth's faith rose up beyond the path of God, the place and the people of God, to the person of the true God himself. She said, Thy God shall be my God. She chose a personal living God instead of the gods of the Moabites that were but dead idols that could not hear, see, or feel. Her faith was akin to that recorded of the Thessalonian believers in the New Testament days who turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. All this indicates the importance of a personal faith in a personal God, which does not rest in mere outward things of a path, a place, and a people. True faith reaches up beyond outward externals and lays hold of the living God himself. Hebrews 11 tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 6. Faith sees the promises of God, is persuaded of them, embraces them, and confesses that one is a stranger and pilgrim on earth as they seek a heavenly country. See Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 14. Such was the genuine faith of Ruth the Moabite. Fifthly, Ruth's unmovable purpose of heart was manifested in that Naomi saw she was steadfastly minded to go with her. Her decision was a mere passing emotion that had no depth. It was genuine, a heartfelt conviction, a fixed determination. Her sister-in-law, Orpha, had lifted up her voice and wept and kissed her mother-in-law and then went back unto her Moabite people and their gods. She was like some today who sometimes show emotion, even tears, and profess to accept Christ as Savior. But it is soon manifest that there's no depth or genuine conviction of sin, no true repentance, and no work of God in the soul or conscience. There is no steadfast-mindedness to go on in the Christian pathway, so they go back to their old ways and company of the ungodly. Such are like stony ground hearers, which the Lord spoke about in Matthew 13. They hear the word of God and with joy receive it, but when tribulation or persecution comes because of the word of God, they are offended and wither away because they have no depth or root in themselves. Now the narrative tells us that they too, that is Naomi and Ruth, went until they came to Bethlehem, and it was the beginning of barley harvest, Ruth 1 verses 19 and 22. It is always the beginning of a harvest of blessing when a soul comes to God through Christ the Savior. Bethlehem, the house of bread, is enjoyed and the soul is fed with Christ, the true bread from heaven. In our next study, we will see Ruth as a gleaner in the fields of Boaz at Bethlehem, where she was greatly blessed.
We noted from the book of Ruth in chapter 1 her great decision of faith, how she chose a path, a place, the people of God, the personal God of Israel, and that she had a steadfast purpose of heart. 5 wonderful P's. The end of chapter 1 tells us that her daughter-in-law tells us that Ruth and Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Verse 22. Here we have Ruth in Bethlehem of Judah, in the land of Israel. This was the place she had chosen to go to with Naomi, and where she spent the rest of her life that was filled with wonderful blessings. As we noted in last week's message, Bethlehem means the house of bread, and Judah means praise. So Bethlehem in Judah stands for the house of bread and praise. It was the city of David, where the Lord Jesus Christ, centuries later, was born. He is the bread of life, the living bread which came down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is proclaimed as recorded in John 6, verses 23 to 58. He also said, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." All this is what Bethlehem of old typifies. And being in Judah, the praise tribe, there is the thought of praise to God and joy to man through Jesus Christ of Bethlehem. This is what was announced at the birth of Jesus, as Luke 2:19-14 says, "Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill toward men." You see, Naomi had heard in the land of Moab that the Jehovah God had visited his people in Judah in giving them bread. After her years of sorrow in Moab, she was moved by this good report to return to Bethlehem, and Ruth was determined to go with her. When they came to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred about them, and it was the beginning of barley harvest. There is indeed a great welcome and the beginning of a harvest of blessing when one comes to Christ Jesus, the true Bethlehem, the house of bread. Moving on to chapter 2, we find it opens with the introduction to us of a new character in this moving drama of Ruth the Moabitess. We are introduced to a man who is to play a great part in the life of our Moabite widow. The divine account informs us, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." There are three interesting and important items brought before us here about this new person. One, he's a kinsman of Naomi, that is, a relative. Two, he's a mighty man of wealth. And three, his name is Boaz, which means in him is strength. In this true story, Boaz is a beautiful picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became man that he might be our kinsman redeemer. This Hebrews 2:14-15 informs us. "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them." Secondly, Jesus Christ is truly the mighty man of wealth. His riches are unsearchable and endure eternally, as Ephesians 3:8 and 1 Peter 1:3-4 assure us. Thirdly, he is truly our Boaz, with its meaning of "in him is strength." All power is his in heaven and in earth, as the one who has risen from the dead and is alive forevermore. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Revelation 1, verse 18. Jesus Christ is the one spoken of in Psalm 80, verse 17. "Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself." To the above about Boaz as a type of Jesus Christ, we could add what we will observe in our studies, that he is most kind, gracious, and loving and considerate in his dealings with others. This wonderful characteristic is certainly true of our Lord Jesus, and he excels all others in this. In the interesting divine account of the activity of Ruth at Bethlehem, we see her as a gleaner in the barley fields. We would call this her pursuit, which would be a sixth P added to the five previously given. The Bible states, Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. See Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 in the New American Standard Bible. Boaz was of the family of Elimelech, yes. And from this incident of Ruth, we may learn how a believer can get in immediate touch with Christ and grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, as the Apostle Peter exhorts us. Ruth went out to work. She went out to the fields to glean grain. It was thus she happened to come into Boaz's field and met him who dealt so kindly and generously with her. Ruth's gleaning grain illustrates how a believer can and should go to the field of God's Word, the Bible, and gather precious truths of food for the soul, which are scattered on every page. As one gleans from the Word of God, contact is made with Jesus Christ, who is the theme of all Scripture. Christian growth and blessing are the direct result of labor in the field of Holy Scripture. Gleaning grain, which is left after the reapers have harvested the fields, is hard work. But in all labor there is profit, Proverbs 14:23 assures us. And the Lord Jesus said, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you." John 6, verse 27. Ruth desired one in whose sight she would find grace or favor. She took a humble place as an unworthy gleaner. Afterwards, when she was moved by the grace that Boaz had shown her, she fell on her face and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger," or a foreigner. Verse 10 of chapter 2. This is the ground upon which God can and does love to bless all who come to him. We are saved by the grace of God, his unmerited kindness, and we have access into this grace wherein we stand. It is to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he has taken us into favor in the Beloved. Then we learn of the riches of his grace, which he has caused to abound toward us. And in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. See Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 8, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, and Romans 5, verse 2. As we glean in the vast and rich field of the Holy Scriptures, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the God of all grace. This gracious loving kindness is seen in the first recorded activity of Boaz. Verse 4 tells us, "And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless thee.'" What beautiful greetings between master and servants. Boaz was a good master. He greets his servants kindly, and they answer him with blessing. In this, Boaz reflects something of the Lord Jesus Christ as the wonderful master, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light, as he said in Matthew 11, verse 30. Radio friend, is he your master? And do you glean in his field, the Bible? Satan's a hard master, and the yoke of sin is heavy and bitter. Now in verses 5 and 6, we read of the servant that was set over the reapers in Boaz's field. This nameless servant is doubtless a type of the Holy Spirit, who directs the reapers and gleaners in the Lord's harvest fields. The book of Acts clearly shows that the Holy Spirit directed the movements and activities of the Lord's servants in the early church. See Acts 2, verse 4, chapter 4, verse 8 and 31, chapter 7, verse 55, chapter 8, 26, and many other passages. Boaz inquired of this servant as to who this new young woman was, and was told that she was the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from Moab, and hath continued from the morning on as a gleaner. This good report as to Ruth gives us another important feature about her. She continued steadfastly as a gleaner. Verse 17 records that she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned. She was diligent and steady in her pursuit of gleaning. So also must every child of God be in searching the Scriptures, if one would make progress in spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul exhorted young Timothy to give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, to meditate upon these things and to continue in them. 1 Timothy 4:13 to 16. The Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." John 8:31. Now we have Boaz addressing Ruth as "my daughter" in verse 8. How encouraging and comforting it must have been for Ruth, the stranger, to be addressed by this mighty man of wealth and master, Boaz, as "my daughter." It speaks of loving relationship. The Lord Jesus addresses those who come to him in similar loving terms. To the trembling and fearful woman who touched his garment, he said, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Mark 5, verses 33 to 34. To the disciples, he said, "Children, yet a little while I'm with you." John 13, verse 33. He also said to them, "I have called you friends." John 15, verse 15. Well, our time is gone. We shall continue our studies of Ruth the Moabite in our next message. So please join us again next week at the same time for another meditation in the book of Ruth.